What's it like to be gay in the C-suite? Corporate leaders who are openly LGBTQIA+ are still relatively rare. But as they become more visible, they're helping to create companies that are more inclusive. Here to share lessons learned along the way is Jim Fielding, author of All Pride, No Ego, A Queer Executive's Journey to Living and Leading Authentically. Jim has had leadership roles at companies like The Gap, Disney, Claire's, DreamWorks, and 20th Century Fox, and is now a consultant, an angel investor, a philanthropist, and a partner at Archer Gray, an independent media company. Here's Jim to share five key insights from his book.
Hi, I'm Jim Fielding, the author of All Pride, No Ego, A Queer Executive's Journey to Living and Leading Authentically. And I'm thrilled to be here today to share with you five key learnings from my new book. I hope you find this information educational and useful. The first learning I want to discuss is actually the first learning from the book, and it is entitled Control the Controllable, but Leave Space for the Possible. This leadership philosophy, management philosophy, and frankly, personal philosophy has been forged in my over 35 plus year career in retail and media and entertainment. And honestly, in the first 30 years of my career, it would have just been control the controllable. You can ask anyone who has worked for me or with me over these past 35 years, and they will tell you that I say control the controllable a lot. And in fact, I was recognized and rewarded and promoted for being a type A control freak, anal retentive, who tried to project manage and control everything. This meant 100% of my personal and professional life, or virtually 100%, was scheduled. And I would attempt to deliver on time, on budget, and frankly, overpromise and underdeliver on any piece of work that I presented in my companies. Later in my career, I realized that I was running down my batteries, that I was having physical issues like losing sleep and having stress, and was actually curtailing the creativity of my own teams by being so controlling of that team. And that's really where the second part of the learning, leave space for the possible, comes from. I now embrace spontaneity. I embrace the happenstance. And I find wonder and magic in those unscheduled, unplanned moments all of the time. In fact, I think some of my best creative ideas and inspiration come from these unscheduled moments and these spontaneous times. So now I live by an 80-20 rule, because to be honest, I'm always going to be a planner. I will always have a schedule. I will always use a calendar, but I literally put 20% of my time now into quote free time or gym time or block time. And what do I use that time for? Basically nothing. It could be meditation. It could be reading. It could just be sitting and listening to nature. It could be doing yoga. It could be doing coloring books. But it's just being and not working. So my first learning, and something I encourage everyone that I work with now, is to control what you can control, because there are a lot of things in your life you can control. Know what you can't control and have the wisdom to know the difference so that you leave that space for the possible. Because again, I think there is beauty and magic and creativity in those moments. The second learning I want to share with you is to be a lifelong learner and stay constantly curious. And frankly, they're back to back in the book because I find them very related. I was blessed to be born into a family of voracious readers. We read books, we read magazines, we read newspapers. And in fact, our dinner table conversation a lot of times included current events and what we were currently reading and stories that we had found during the day. I am grateful that I was raised like this and that my first gifts were books, including the books of Dr. Seuss. I, as a young reader, loved Hardy Boys mysteries, Agatha Christie, Nancy Drew. I loved the escape of reading. And to this day, I read, quote, pleasure books every day at some point in my plan. I think as a leader, you have got to stay constantly curious and be constantly learning. The pace of change in our industry with technology, with changes in competition, with changes geopolitically, and with changes in our consumer and how they consume media, retail, consume anything, frankly, forces you as a leader to stay on top of these changes and to interpret new developments and new technologies and new introductions in the marketplace for your own business and for your own team. I believe to stay successful, to stay current, to stay relevant, you have to stay educated. And you need to access reading, learning, educational opportunities anywhere in your life that you can. My third learning I want to share with you is probably the most difficult learning in the book, was definitely by far the most difficult learning for me to write. And it honestly is not that easy to talk about. But that learning is entitled, "Don't Ever Let Anyone Dim Your Light." For my purposes in the book and for this discussion, light could be interchanged with words like talent, drive, passion, desires. To me, your light is something that you have a control switch over. It is your inner inspiration. It is what gives you pleasure. It is what drives you. And you have the ability to turn up or turn down that light, depending on situations in your personal life and in your professional life. The learning, however, is not to let other people control that switch. And honestly, I started to learn this very early in my life because this learning started as a child when I was perceived as gay or effeminate and different. And I let bullies verbally and physically stop me from doing things that I loved. This started in elementary school when I was in the school choir and school plays, followed me into middle school and high school. I loved performing. I loved being on the stage. But every time I got involved in a performance or a choir show, I would deal with verbal and physical harassment and bullying. And it just got tiring. And I chose to avoid those feelings rather than feeding my flame and my desire and my love of performing. It was interesting that later in my life, through work with an executive coach, that I realized because of those insecurities as a child, even though I was a successful out gay executive, I was still open to people bullying me in a professional environment. And that could be in meetings or in board of director meetings, or it could be in interactions with my boss, that I had a tendency to let other people control my flame. And when that flame or that light got controlled by someone else, I would then start to become very frustrated and very angry and very bitter, and I would start to shut down. And so through amazing work with my coach, I learned that I had to own my light, that I had to own that control switch. And that is my message to everybody, is to be your best, you have to bring all of you to your situations in your personal and professional life. And you need to control that control switch, that temperature gauge on your light. So don't ever give that control away to anyone else, whether that's an individual, a company, a coworker, you control your light. My fourth learning is really about the definition of family. And in the book, I talk about the different kinds of families that are so important to me personally and professionally. I was blessed with a very strong natural family. I have a great relationship with my sister, my mom, my dad, who unfortunately has passed away, and my extended family. And I work hard on nurturing and cherishing that relationship. I am grateful for my natural and or birth family. It is a sad fact, however, that in the queer community, many people do not have a strong relationship with their natural family because simply by the act of living their authentic truth or, quote, coming out, they sometimes sever ties or severely impair the relations with their natural family. I think that's where the concept of chosen family or found family steps in. This is the group of people that you have nurtured relationships with for years, whether you met them at work or you met them through school or through volunteer work. These are the people who are your ride or die posse. These are your truth tellers. These are the people who will not take any of your BS and love you completely, 100% unconditionally, and love you for being yourself, not for being the person you are at work or the person you are in certain situations in your personal life or in your volunteer life. You know instinctively who these people are, and you have built a lifelong history and trust and respect relationship with them. And I think finding and nurturing that chosen family is another key part of this learning. And under that topic, I talk about the concept of work families. We often throw the term out work wife or work husband, and it's kind of a throwaway term. But in reality, we spend more time at work than we do with our natural family or our chosen family. And so I have found over time the value of having familial-like bonds and familial-like trust and respect with a certain group of people. Now, let me be clear. I am not saying this means that you go out for drinks every day at happy hour, or I'm encouraging people to, you know, form these little family teams that cut other people in their group off. I am saying that I have been successful in my career by nurturing long-term relationships with a very diverse set of individuals that have a diverse set of skill sets that honestly, when I mix with my own skill set and I bring them all together, we can create some pretty magical experiences and magical business success. When I joined 20th Century Fox, one of the things that I required as I became president of consumer products and experiences was my ability to hire a team. The group I was inheriting had a lot of open positions. And so I actually negotiated to hire 5 senior vice presidents 1 week after my announcement was made. And I'll never forget that day we made that announcement, where in one press release, I announced 5 senior vice presidents, 4 of whom were people I had worked with at other companies in my career and had chosen to come with me on this adventure, and a 5th one that I had met who was consulting for the company, but that I quickly bonded with and valued his insights and experiences at Fox very much. And what we were able to do in those first 12 months at Fox, where we basically turned a business around and created a new culture, was a direct result of the fact that I had a pre-existing relationship with these people. We had a kind of communication shorthand. We understood each other's strengths and development opportunities, and we were able to play off each other effectively. And I think as a leader, that work family is a perfect example of diversity, equity, and inclusion. They are all very different people with different skill sets and different strengths and development opportunities. But by pulling them all together, the 6 of us were able to create a really successful business plan, a really successful performance culture, and we actually had fun at that job. We brought passion to the job. We brought drive, we brought goal alignment, but we also just brought fun. The last learning I'm going to share with you is one that I entitled Selfish is Not a Bad Word. I was raised in the Midwest by a very classic blue-collar Midwestern family. My dad was a fireman. My mom was a stay-at-home mom who had been an X-ray technician, but retired when I was born. And I was raised in a house that selfish was a very bad word. Selfish meant you weren't sharing. You weren't sharing your toys. You weren't sharing your books. You were basically being mean to your little sister, or you were being, quote, selfish. And for us, that usually, especially for me, resulted in a timeout in the corner staring at a wall that could range anywhere from 15 minutes to 30 minutes, but to a child felt like an eternity. So it was burnt into me that selfish was a bad word. And again, thanks to my executive coach later in my career, we were able to turn that learning into selfish equals self-care. And I actually think about it every time I'm on an airplane and they make that safety announcement where they say, in event of emergency, if the oxygen mask dropped from the ceiling, take care of yourself first before you take care of anyone else on the plane. To me, that's what this learning that I write about is about. Is that I have to take care of my needs physically, mentally, and emotionally to be a more effective leader for the teams that I am working with. I hope you have enjoyed these 5 learnings from my new book, All Pride, No Ego, A Queer Executive's Journey to Living and Leading Authentically. I really thank you for listening, and please stay in touch and let me know what you think of the book.
Thank you, Jim. That was Jim Fielding with five big ideas from All Pride, No Ego, A Queer Executive's Journey to Living and Leading Authentically. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.